Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the hump day edition, the happier happy hour. Rolling into it, Tom. And we're going to take many more of your calls and turn our attention towards the Marquette University Law School polling. Our friend Charles Franklin joining us at 5:30 Central Time. You can join us right now at 844-967-2789. We're doing some hot takes on last night's national elections. Virginia went blue. Ohio voted to institute the right to an abortion in their constitution. They also legalized recreational marijuana. And Andy Beshear, the Democratic governor of Kentucky, that's a pretty red state down there, won re-election, Dom. Dems outperformed, and the issue is certainly got to be abortion, because Donald Trump, realistically, I know he's a turnout machine for both sides, but he was not on the ballot, not last night, not in any substantial way. And Dems still turned out in probably off your election, something resembling record numbers. 844-967-2789. Chris from Adams Friendship, here's a new one. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, I want to respond to Bill. I am actually a child who was born to teenagers. I'm 48. I have lived with an uber conservative Trump father, Trump loving father, and a more liberal mother. They are divorced. I myself actually ended up pregnant and very young. And had to make a decision. It was a unexpected pregnancy. However, precautions were taken, and it just still happened. And Bill has no idea what growing up in a teenage pregnancy household was like. And still to this day, at 48 years old, my father resents me.
Because Chris, of the early pregnancy, or because your arrival in his life changed his life?
My arrival in his life. My parents do not know that I was ever pregnant. I was not going to bring a child into that same lifestyle, regardless. But still to this day, 48 years later, my dad resents the fact that I exist.
Chris, do you ever, and I've heard it represented by the pro-life anti-abortion movement that women so often regret the abortions they have. Do you have any regrets of that sort, Chris?
Some. I do have some, because I never ended up having children. But at that time, there was no way mentally or financially I was prepared to have a child. I was 21 years old. I had no financial way to provide for a child. It was not long after that I was no longer with the father of the child. I would have been on the system. It was not a good situation all around.
When it's suggested that you should have carried the child to term, let's say your Trumpy dad found out, he probably would have said, you got to have the baby. You got to carry it to term.
He absolutely would have.
Could you envision putting yourself, your life through that, and then, let's say, turning that baby over for adoption? Did that ever strike you as a viable alternative?
I don't think mentally I would have been able to do it. I don't think I would have been able to provide a stable life for the child at the same time.
Chris, before we cut off this phone call, is there anything else you'd like to add? Any other information you'd like people like Bill or Dom or I or anyone listening right now, anything else you'd like us to know?
I would like Bill to understand that it's not a decision that is ever made lightly. It is not a decision I made on my own. There were plenty of conversations between myself and the father of the child. It was never done in secret between him and I. He is also very conservative. He also went on to, I believe, not have any biological children of his own. I do not know that for a fact, but I believe that that is what I have been told. We have friends in common still. He did move away. But it is not an easy decision. It is not a just, oh, it's the easy way out decision. There are consequences to the decision, and it's not a decision that, at least in my situation, was taken lightly.
Chris, did the father ever try to influence that decision to encourage you to have the baby, if I may ask?
Or the other way around, encourage you to obviously end up not having the baby. How did that go down?
No, it was a, we talked about it. It was a, we both decided we weren't ready. We both decided we weren't financially stable enough. We weren't emotionally stable enough. We both decided that carrying it to term and delivering, it wasn't a good decision. It was a conversation that was not a 1 minute, you know, 1 day conversation. It was a lengthy conversation. It was something that we did take care of. We did do in the early stages, first trimester, because we did not want to do it any later than that. It was not a Planned Parenthood type situation. Everybody blames Planned Parenthood. It was not that type of situation. There was an actual clinic in Madison. There was a doctor that had a clinic in Madison. And my ultra-conservative best friend actually took me, even though she was against it. Hmm. So, it's conversations, and it's not an easy decision. I also can attest to, I have several people in my life who have had barely viable children delivered. You know, we're talking 24 weeks, and that's not an easy situation to live through either.
Chris, I got to be honest with you. I have been aware of a few of the women in my life have been candid and have told me they've had abortions. But this is probably the most candid conversation I've ever had on the topic, Chris. And I appreciate your candor.
Sure. My husband doesn't even know. I just don't talk about it, but I felt compelled to discuss it so that Bill knows that it's not an easy decision. It's not. And like I said, I haven't even told my husband.
Chris, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thanks. You as well. Too, Chris. Wow. Wow. It is obviously a torturous decision for most people. And for people like Bill and others just to flippantly say, oh, you know, murdering babies. I mean, it's one thing to say that it's easy from the outside to just, you know, hurl that out there, you know, based on your fervent religious beliefs. But until you live through it and feel it and have to, you know, make these agonizing decisions, and ultimately it's not Bill's decision. And it's a woman's decision, in my opinion on this. And I think our previous caller in the last hour brought this up as well. These are, it takes two to tango, man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, this doesn't happen by itself. You know, this isn't the Mother Mary, as the Christians would believe. That doesn't happen. And so there is responsibility certainly on all sides. So even though it is the woman that has to go through the operation, the men's done quick, it's really up to the woman to go and have the procedure. Both are involved, at least in this particular case. Thank you once again for a great call. Appreciate you sharing. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I think we showed that yesterday with the voting that's gone on. Remember, polls don't vote. People do. And I also want to say Chris was very admirable in coming on just now, and I want to thank her for that. The other thing I want to say is just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't mean that she's necessarily going to choose termination. It's either the government's right to choose or a woman's right to choose. So all these people out there that call this the abortion issue, pro-abortion, da-da-da-da, it's not. It's pro a woman's right to choose or pro-big government's right to choose. And it should be between a woman and her doctor and her partner. And, you know, it just blows my mind away that they make this into this thing where it's almost like pro-abortion. It's not. It's pro-woman's right to choose. And if you take away a woman's right to choose, someone like Chris wouldn't have even had the opportunity to choose anything. So it's about the choice and who's doing the choosing. So,
do you remember when Scott Walker was running for re-election and
oh, yeah, he put that at the end of the campaign it's a doctor and a woman. That's BS.
Well, of course, that was not his position, not beyond the election, not when he won re-election.
Right.
He defunded Planned Parenthood proudly, took away reproductive services from women. And I don't know if many men know this. I know Chris Kapinga, a state senator, was very dismissive, but they asked the question, how many men receive services in the state of Wisconsin each year from Planned Parenthood? The number was over 6,000 men receiving STD treatment, etc., through Planned Parenthood. Anyways, got any other quick thoughts, Tom?
Planned Parenthood might be the only place that some people have for health care.
You're probably right about that, Tom. And in the state of Wisconsin, they have taken the legal opinion of a Dane County judge, and they've begun restoring and performing services, but only in Madison and Milwaukee. And it's a big state. So, you know, some people are not getting the services they desire. Come back. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. 844-967-2789 for your calls. And stick around. Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, he comes in at the 5:30 mark.
Dom, I'm here in the Solidarity Realty studio with you. Nice to see our friend Darcy Haber last night.
Yeah.
I'm not in Miami. The presidential debate tonight is in Miami.
Credentials were denied.
Denied! It's a conspiracy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The former president doing a rally in Hialeah today. Apparently, you know, he's very, very chagrined about the fact his poor daughter was forced to give testimony in a fraud trial today.
I know. Can you believe it? In the middle of a school week. I mean, who can possibly have the time?
Donald Trump went on Righty Whitey Talk Radio for an hour today, like at least 45 minutes, continuous. And one of the most interesting parts, and I'm not going to tell you a lot about it, but I did listen to this interview. And at one point, Trump said, "I'm probably the only candidate to ever go up in the polls after being indicted. Most get indicted and go home to their families." And I'm thinking, how ironic in that his daughter is literally giving testimony as he's doing this interview right now. And then the host, either Clay or Buck, I forget which one, said, "Yes, hold that thought, Mr. President. I've got to tell the people about my towel from Mike Lindell."
My towel?
apparently he's got a new product out at the MyPillow factory.
All right.
He literally did a live read for conspiracy election denier Mike Lindell in real time while Trump held on. And then they brought him back, and then they did another live read ad in the middle of the interview.
Well, also MyTowel?
Some other product. I was less attuned to because it didn't involve cyber ninjas and he did a cyber symposium, did he not? Didn't Gableman go on the taxpayer's dollar? More from that interview. Trump is predicting 35,000-40,000 people in Hialeah tonight.
We'll see.
I do believe I told this story earlier today. Off year rally a couple of years back, I went and saw Trump in Des Moines, Iowa, and he had about 40,000-45,000. So I've seen a big Trump crowd. Yeah. It is feasible. I've seen it with my own beady little eyes. And I've seen some big crowds, you know, sporting events, Bernie in Washington Square Park. That was a huge rally, 40,000-45,000. I saw 40 or 45,000 at a Trump rally in Des Moines on a Saturday night when Iowa was playing Iowa State in Iowa City about an hour down the road. So it wasn't like nothing was going on. That's the hottest ticket in the state of Iowa, man. Iowa playing Iowa State in football, and Trump still had 40,000-45,000.
And that was then, and this is now, and the governor of Iowa has endorsed Ron DeSantis.
Why?
Because Trump's gonna get convicted and thrown in jail, and he's not going to be able to be at the top of the party ticket. Because Trump's not the guy, man. That's why. Why do you think, ma'am? I mean, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, for real, what do you think is going to happen? 91 federal charges? It's not like the federal government has a really bad conviction
rate. It's a persecution.
I mean, you can say it what you want. You know, the facts are the facts. Numbers don't lie. And as it continues to roll and the serious, serious stuff comes down, no, man, that's why. Because Trump is unelectable. That's why. 844-967-2789. Dick.
Go ahead, Dick.
Dick from Madison. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Come on, Dick. You got to be ready,
Dick,
man.
Put the beer down. Hey, What's happening there? All right.
I'm here. Hey, one thing I'll disagree with you on, Kurt. He wasn't on the ballot, but his policies and his ideas sure as hell were last night.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one who said, I'm the one who got rid of this when it comes to Roe v. Wade, right?
You're absolutely right, Dick, and I think that will play prominently in the election year next year. It's going to be the ad that sinks his ass, among others.
Big time. Among many others.
He did. He literally has come out and said, I did that. I am responsible for the Dobbs decision. I put him on the court.
And many other things that he said that are just absolute. Wasn't it nice that his daughter went full Reagan today? I don't recall. What's the difference between I don't recall and pleading the fifth? Not much. And he also, what did he say about pleading the fifth? If you plead the fifth, you're guilty.
Well, she'd have been better off pleading the fifth.
Well, she couldn't plead the fifth. She's not charged. She's not part of that, you know,
being charged in the trial.
So she had to testify and not recalling whatever. I mean, she saw the documents, you know, the loans from Deutsche Bank. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised he said, I don't recall 30 plus times. But at the end of the day, as AG Tish James said, the numbers don't lie, Dick.
No. The whole thing, but he's just totally laughable in the fact that, you know, you could shove so many things down his throat, and you guys know it. And the Democrats would go for it. I mean, if he's their nominee, I keep telling you he's not going to be. But one thing that scares me if he's not is these numbers on the fact that Nikki Haley and other people head-to-head beat Biden.
Yeah. We're going to talk with Charles Franklin shortly. New polling out of Wisconsin, Dick, would seem to substantiate that as well. And it's not really that close. Nikki Haley performs the best in head-to-head matchups, not just in Wisconsin. The New York Times, Siena College polling we talked about, even that had Haley substantially beating Trump in, I believe, every one of those swing states, including Wisconsin, which was the only blue wall state Biden held in the New York Times poll. My understanding, Biden also narrowly beating Trump in Wisconsin in the Marquette polling, but head-to-head against Nikki Haley specifically, he trails by nine.
844-967-2789. John, you are next. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
John from Boaz. Welcome, John.
Hi, is this the greatest radio show ever?
Yes.
That's what they say.
Okay, well, I read John Bolton's book about Mr. Trump, and John Bolton was the national security advisor.
Well, mustache guy. We remember.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. He told the books. In the book, it says Trump cannot make an executive decision about retaliating against Iran for sinking two tankers and one of our drones. Trump is a loose cannon.
Well, that I have no doubt about. John Bolton, however, is a self-serving bastard, as far as I'm concerned, John, because he would not testify. And he told the J6 committee, well, you better subpoena me. And for whatever reason, they didn't choose to go that route. They were trying to expedite this information, you know, impeach the man before he did worse damage. But, you know, John, I'm not any fan of John Bolton, and you must be the only one that read that man's book.
Thanks for the call, John.
That's admirable.
It is amazing how these Republicans in Trump's circle get the spine, write the book, are super critical once they walk out the door. But what I don't see is anybody who's once been in the circle with Donald Trump and who since left have said, oh, this guy's great. He's best. He should be reelected.
You know, Donald Trump, talking to the Clay and the Buck earlier today, very proud of the mugshot. You know what he said about his mugshot? It's a good picture. An iconic picture.
Sure is.
And then he gave both the hosts T-shirts with his own mugshot.
Wow.
Must have been so proud. Come back. We got Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School pollster.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the post-election other place edition, but also a great day down because we got Marquette University Law School polling. And that generally means we got our friend Charles Franklin joining us. He does so right now. Charles, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, some people say.
Hey, Charles.
Absolutely, people say that.
I've seen it polled, Charles. Even with an oversampling of Republican, we still come out as the greatest radio show ever.
No doubt. No doubt.
Charles, let's start top of the polling, and this is Wisconsin-specific polling. We know Marquette University Law School polls sometimes concentrates on national issues and polls national issues. But today, it's Wisconsin, baby, and top of the ticket. It's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So how's incumbent Joe do?
Yeah, well, he's slight. I should say we did this October 26th to November 2nd, a little over 900 registered voters. Margin of error is 4.5%. Biden leads Trump by 2 points, 50 to 48. That's inside the margin of error. When we switch to Biden versus DeSantis, it's DeSantis ahead by 2 points, 50 to 48. But when we do Biden versus Nikki Haley, she has a 9-point lead over Biden, which is really interesting because of what it says about how little known she is. A third of our respondents, 33%, said they didn't know enough to have a favorable or unfavorable view of her. But even those that didn't have an opinion about her voted for her over Biden. I think this is really, she stands as sort of a generic Republican. She doesn't have the baggage that Trump carries and to some extent DeSantis does. And so people can see her and not see her so tightly connected to them. And that lets Biden's weaknesses stand out a little bit more when voters are looking at her versus Biden. If she could somehow become the nominee, those numbers would change tremendously as we go through the campaign and people get to know her more and more and partisans line up in their corners. But it is a good example of where Biden is potentially weak But despite that, Trump is his weakest opponent, and that's the one that Trump does the worst of these three Republicans against Biden.
Charles, as you look at the three Republicans versus Biden, where do those votes come from? Is that the independents? Sure. I mean, how does that break down?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, really interesting. Biden gets 94% of Democrats when he's matched against Trump. Trump only gets 88% of Republicans. In our data, about 28% of Republicans have a negative view of Donald Trump. And that hurts him in that Trump versus Biden comparison. Also, independents split dead even, 47% for Trump and 47% for Biden. When we move to DeSantis, he picks up a few points in Republican loyalty that'll vote for him but wouldn't vote for Trump. He doesn't take anything away from Biden's Democratic support, but what DeSantis and then Haley both do is they pick up a significant lead among independents, 58 to 30-something. There's where you see the swing. And finally, with Haley, she actually does bring down Biden's Democratic support from about 94 to about 90%, still really good. But she's picking up a little bit there, and she's also winning over the independents, as does DeSantis. But Haley does the best among Republicans, better than Biden or, better than Trump or better than DeSantis.
Charles, I haven't had the benefit of looking forward to the crosstabs. Do we see a breakdown amongst gender of these voters that would prefer a Nikki Haley, for instance?
Yeah.
It's been my inclination, and I've seen plenty of media reports that Trump is not popular, especially with, let's say, suburban women.
Right. Well,
Nikki Haley may not have that same problem. Do we know how it breaks down based on gender at this point, Charles?
There is a pretty big gender gap in all three of these, with majorities of men going for the Republican candidate, majorities of women going for Biden. That gender gap is a little bit smaller with Haley, but you still see the difference that women are more supportive of Democrats generally and supportive of Biden specifically. The fact that Haley is a woman may have some mitigating effect there. But I think the idea that she really doesn't have a strong enough image with enough voters for them to really know what the partisanship of her, you know, the partisan nature of her appeal is. So it still ends up being a gender gap in favor of Biden.
Charles, I had seen you have the polling from the last elective cycle, the 2022 polling, Marquette University Law School polls, has it pinned on its Twitter page. Looking back a little further, if your memory serves, I'd have to fill in the blanks for Dom, but I trust you. Charles, how did the polling look? And I realize we're a year out, but how did the polling look Biden v. Trump in 2020 here in the state of Wisconsin? Closest to the election, if you recall, sir.
Yeah, closest to the election, we had Biden up by 4 and he won by 1. 4 or 5, I have to think about that, but I think it was 4 or 5. And so we were a little high on Biden then. Earlier in the campaign, though, Biden had had a bigger lead, and that then tightened as we got closer to the election. But we still we didn't so much overstate Biden's vote as understate Trump's vote. And so that remains an issue for me and for all pollsters to worry about for the next 12 months.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Charles Franklin, he's the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Friend of ours, new polling dropped. Also today, Charles, is a Republican debate going on in Florida. I know you polled on the Republican primary. How was it looking in the summer, and how's it looking now?
Sure. Trump has a 20-point lead over DeSantis, 38 to 18. Nikki Haley's at 11. And everybody else is below 4 points. They're at 3 points or less. Haley moved up from 3 to 11, so up 8 points since June. But DeSantis fell by 12 points from 30 to 18. Trump had been at 31 in June. We had that a really close race. In fact, far closer than most polls elsewhere had it. But Trump has now moved up by 7 to get to 38. 38 is surprisingly low when you see that in national data, he's polling in the mid to upper 50s in the primary. But look to Iowa next door, and their latest poll had had Trump at 43 in the caucus. And so we have him at 38, 43, 38, similar, and both well below the national number. Also, he's doing less well in New Hampshire. So I'm not sure whether we're a little light on Trump supporters in our primary poll, but we are seeing him take a solid lead now that he didn't have in June.
Charles, if we remember all the way back to 2016, Trump lost the primary by double digits in the state of Wisconsin. This was not his most popular state. And in fact, the right-wing talk radio infrastructure really didn't adopt Trump, didn't care for Trump until, you know, he won the primary and they thought they could steal a Supreme Court seat. But you talked about Trump beating DeSantis currently by about 20 in the state of Wisconsin. New polling out of Florida suggests Trump's up on DeSantis in DeSantis's home state, where he's the governor, by 39 or 40 points. Charles, outside of maybe a few selected states like Wisconsin, Trump really is literally running away with this. This debate tonight's for the undercard, for second place, probably. Can you see any scenario other than perhaps the imprisonment of the current front runner that would change this mathematical dynamic between now and, let's say, January 15th in the Iowa caucuses?
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely, one, especially given our past mistakes in earlier elections. You don't ever want to say never, but here's what would happen. In the history of primary polling, we often do see candidates make moves in late November and December polling, and then the Iowa caucus comes and that upsets the apple cart or confirms it. But John Kerry, for example, was in low single digits until late fall in that November, December time. And then he zoomed up and ended up winning the Iowa caucus. So, you know, we do have reason to say there's been big change in the late going. On the other hand, we've never seen a former president in a primary this late, and a former president that has as strong a hold on the party as Trump has. Here in Wisconsin and in our national polling, about 70% of Republicans say they have a favorable view of Trump, but about 30% say they have an unfavorable view of him. And that 30% is desperately looking for any other candidate, but they've not coalesced around any one of the many alternatives. And in this latest poll, 24% say they're undecided in the Republican primary. So yes, there is room there potentially for some movement. But even if you converted all of the anti-Trump Republicans, he would still be ahead 70-30. So you really have got to find some way of peeling away some of his support. And so far, none of the other Republican candidates have come close to doing that. In fact, the coalescing that's taking place is coalescing for Trump. And that's what you're seeing in that Florida data you're talking about. And it's what we're seeing in national data, where Trump's strength has actually risen 10 points or so, while DeSantis, who early on was taking away about a third of the Trump vote, has just plummeted to very low ability to pull Trump voters to him.
Charles Franklin, Director of Marquette University Law School, polling elections across the country last night. Charles, abortion, a big issue. Dems were winning on it. What are they saying about abortion in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, here in Wisconsin, people prefer abortion rights rather than restrictions. We have it at 57% saying that Roe versus Wade should not have been overturned. About 35% say it should. That's pretty much in line with what we've seen since it was overturned. Maybe we were a little closer to 60 opposed earlier. A few people, 6% this time, said they hadn't heard of that decision. It's a little hard to believe. But that's been the balance of opinion here in the state for all of the years since 2012. I've been doing polling on the issue. We consistently see something close to 60% favoring abortion rights and around 30 to 35% opposed to it. And that hasn't changed much, maybe by 5 points since the decision overturning Roe. I think last night you mentioned we saw the abortion referendum in Ohio passing very strongly. And we saw that in 6 other states with abortion referenda in 2022. So I think that's a pretty strong indication of how the issue stands with voters, even in a red state like Ohio, when it's the only issue on the ballot. It was implicated in the Virginia legislative races last night and in the Kentucky governor's race. So I think the power of the abortion issue remains there. But it's not always about, it's not always the only issue on the ballot the way it is on a referendum. And at that point, the personalities of the candidates play a big role too.
Our fine guest, Charles Franklin, for just a minute longer. Charles, I think it's clear you've oversampled Republicans in regards to the gerrymandering issue. We've seen a number of advisory referendums where even Republicans support recasting the maps, fair maps. But when you poll and say, should we recast the maps, what did you find, Charles?
We found a slight majority, 51%, who wanted to keep the current maps until 2031 when we would normally redistrict. And about 44% say redistrict now. Here's the thing. We did not mention in the question gerrymandering or the partisan advantage. We let voters either know that or not. And what we found was that Republicans were 75% against redistricting, Democrats were 73% in favor, and independents a little bit opposed. That message hasn't gotten through to all the voters. There is a reasonable alignment, but it's not a dominant opinion yet.
We'll move that electorate when we can, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Charles, any final thoughts here?
Well, I think we're looking at a close race, and that shows, but it is the case that both Biden and Trump have real problems going into the campaign. They also have some strengths. How those things work their way out, if that's the race, well, we'll see. It seems like a yep. rerun of 2020.
Oh, Charles, no. Don't forget the poll. Greatest radio show ever. I feel quite positive we'll do well. Thank you, Charles Franklin.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
If you don't line up, we may allow the band to break. CJ is in the queue. We can see him waiting. So it's up to other callers to give us a reason why we can't take CJ's call. Otherwise, we'll give you a chance, CJ, but
it's up to the callers. It's up to the audience.
Up to all the other possible people we could take before
anybody, you. Anybody, everybody, if you want to call, right now is the time to do it. 844-967-2789.
You better say it again slow and clearly.
The Civic Media app, just click on the call button. It'll automatically call the greatest radio show ever, 844-967-2789.
Against our better judgment and corporate mandates, CJ, we're going to give you one chance. You gotta play along. Welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, CJ. How long that lasts is up to you.
Hey, CJ.
Oh, he's not ready for us.
See, you snooze and you lose. You know, it's like a sad movie. You know, you finally thought you're going to get there, and it's like if Rudy didn't come out and play, you know, it just doesn't work out. Sorry, man. Try tomorrow or Friday.
Rudy didn't get in the game, didn't get the sack, right. Didn't get the memories, didn't get the chance.
Yep. Just a whole different ball game, man. A whole different ending.
You realize the entire audience just had a collective
sigh of relief.
One CJ is oversampling CJ.
Thank you, Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School polling. You know, polls are polls. You can look at the crosstabs and see if they oversampled Republicans. I still say the New York Times polling did. I haven't seen this particular polling's crosstabs yet, but you know how it is.
It's a small, relatively small sample.
Yeah, under like 900 1,000. Or something. Yeah.
So here's the deal. When Charles next drops another Marquette University Law School poll on Wisconsin, then we'll welcome CJ back again. Charles told us, when's that January that's coming? Maybe you'll be ready.
Yeah, if you're ready then, instead of ordering your food or whatever was going on there. I'm not surprised by the polling necessarily. I think we've talked about it before. You know, if it's not Trump, some of the other candidates start looking better to some other folks who are like super anti-Trump or just want a reasonable person, even if they're conservative.
Maybe a candidate not under 91 criminal indictments.
Perhaps, you know, or you know, found liable for, you know, sexual assault or, you know, a myriad of fraud charges, you know, whatever. Apparently that, you know, attracts some Republicans. But my concern on this particular polling, the gerrymandering, the maps, and I get it. A lot of it comes down to how you phrase the question. You know, how do you put the words out there? And if really seriously 50% of people in this state think that these maps are okay, I think we got a job to do, man. I mean,
I specifically.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We do.
Especially you, because you're dropping. You're not doing your part.
Come on, man. And I get it. It's not a sexy thing, and it's hard to really kind of, you know, put your hands around, especially if you're not dialed in and, you know, watching and listening and being involved every single day. Maps are boring. Maps, you know, well, they do maps. So what? They do the maps. You know, you can do the maps in 10 years. No, there's a reason why they put so much effort into the maps back in, what, 2010, 2011? It's like concrete.
You're
man.
Cooking
You're
the books
stuck.
For a decade.
I know. And then if you go to lease maps like they just did.
Lease change maps. And they didn't even adopt the lease change maps because Evers proposed the lease change maps. He vetoed the legislative maps. And then the U.S. Supreme Court said, find a different answer. And Hagedorn flipped his vote and said, well, we're going to change maps. Which does perhaps give justification to one of the rationales that Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up in oral arguments.
Yeah.
There were five reasons put forth, but they're only adopting two
in terms of
original jurisdiction, because we're going to start at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we could have a ruling, I would guess, by what, first of the year?
I mean, this happens this month, right? The arguments or whatever.
November 21st.
I mean, yeah.
Today's the 8th.
It's coming quick.
Less than 2 weeks before oral arguments. It will begin on a Tuesday.
So,
my second favorite day of the week, because Friday's weekend and Tuesday's because that's always election day.
Obviously, it's going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We get a ruling. So, no matter what people think in the Marquette University Law School polls, it's somewhat irrelevant because the courts are going to ultimately decide. Hopefully, they'll decide to redraw the maps and everybody's on the ballot.
But the broader electorate knew that this issue was on the ballot. They elected Protasiewicz by 11 points. And if you hear the Republicans, she's already told us how she's going to vote on this. And the people said, yeah, more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
She won by 11.
That's a very common number these days.
Yeah, 11?
Yeah.
It's almost like women are much more motivated to go vote because they want their rights restored. And also, there's that whole issue of small-D democracy. I think we should all care about that. 844-967-2789. Lynn from Minneapolis. Welcome, Lynn. What do you got for us?
Hi, Lynn.
Yeah, just a quick comment on this. Part of the reason Republicans don't worry about the gerrymandering is I know the Whitey Teddy radio, they define the problem as that, all those Democrats live together, crowded in town, and then they complain they don't get enough representation, whereas Republicans are everywhere, right?
Well, that's the claim
they
make. And here in the state of Wisconsin, they also claim better candidates and better ideas. But I've met some of these people.
Yeah, I hear that.
They're not our best and brightest, Lynn.
Yeah, no. Well, even in Minnesota here, the Republicans have been pushing for this notion that the rural districts need to have less people, you know, because it's not fair to have, you know, so many districts in the Twin Cities. Right, so you need to make bigger districts in the rural area and make smaller ones in the Twin Cities. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
So they want land.
For the fortunate side, Lynn, my understanding is the Minnesota legislature is controlled by the blue team. You got a blue governor, but you've also got a Supreme Court that, my understanding, ruled today Donald Trump's allowed on the ballot. I didn't like that ruling.
So far.
14th Amendment. They are not excluding him from the Minnesota ballot. There's also a Colorado case, and we've seen it, you know, with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Madison Cawthorn. Hell, we saw a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit that was dismissed here in the state of Wisconsin trying to ban Ron Johnson from the ballot. That was not successful either. I'm wondering if these are futile efforts.
I don't think they are. Certainly, the dude is an insurrectionist. And my reading on it briefly was it was kind of a split decision. There's more to come on that. I don't have it for you right now, but I it's still going on.
Thank you to our fine guests today. They were Gwen Moore, Congresswoman from Milwaukee, and, of course, Charles Franklin. Always appreciate when you listen. Stick around. Maggie Dawn is next, and then the Empowered Caregiver Show and a crossover. Pizza Box Mike on the Empowered Caregiver with Liza Helen Brand. Keep it locked, Civic.